didn't know I could play the piano, didn't you? About that. 4:18, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times, and I'm joined now by the award-winning Emily Miller. Hello, Emily.
Hi, Andy.
Well, let's dive right in, shall we? Media's love affair with Obama. I love that piece.
Thank you, thank you.
The man gets awards for sitting in his office.
It's true, you know. I mean, he is, you know, their darling. And so that's why tonight is so important for Mitt Romney, because it's the only chance he has to speak to, you know, a national audience of the public without the filter of the networks or the newspapers, you know, the magazines and the blogs.
Yeah. I had mentioned a little while ago, I think George Stephanopoulos called in to say that Barack Obama has already won the debate tonight.
That's right. Well, that's what, you know, the Media Research Center just released yesterday, this interesting thing where they went back to all the debates that George Stephanopoulos has been the supposed impartial analyst in the past, since 1997, since he's been at ABC News. And it showed that he had said in 8 of the 9 times that the Democrat had won. So, you know, this is supposedly impartial analysis people are going to get. And, of course, George Stephanopoulos was Bill Clinton's top media guy and aide and, you know, all through his presidency. So, you know, it would be hard. It's a stretch, I think, for most people to believe that George Stephanopoulos is going to give an impartial point of view. But, however, that's, you know, who ABC puts on, and that's their anchor of the show on the Sundays. And, you know, so this past Sunday, it was, you know, Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, who said to him, you know, who said to George Stephanopoulos that this is a election that is unfair and the media is treating him unfairly. And, you know, I think that was great that he did that.
Yeah, and notice that Paul Ryan was on with Chris Wallace and more or less said the same thing.
Well, that's, you know, it's interesting because the Romney campaign, which I think is admirable, has a, quote, no whining policy. And that is referring to no whining about the media bias, the liberal media bias that they face. Their point is, you know, we just have to get through it. We have to deal with it. And all the whining isn't going to change it. And it's a very good point because, you know, the liberal media bias has been ingrained for so many years, and it's because, you know, most reporters are Democrats, are liberals, you know, and their bias seeps through their work. However, and, you know, it's not going to change in one election. And, you know, you as a conservative, you have other outlets to reach your conservative audience, like talk radio, mostly, or, you know, some conservative newspapers, like the Washington Times. But so, you know, as he's right, that, you know, the Romney campaign's right, this is not going to change. However, Paul Ryan was asked by Chris Wallace about it and on Sunday. And, you know, he, I think to his credit, didn't take the no whining approach just for a little bit and just said, you know, when asked by Wallace, he said, you know, I think it goes without saying that there's definitely a media bias. I'm a conservative person. I'm used to media bias. We expected media bias going into this.
Yeah.
And then Chris Wallace asked him, do you think that the media wants Obama to win? And Paul Ryan said, I think most people in the mainstream media are left of center and therefore want a very left of center president versus a conservative president like Mitt Romney. Of course, he got beat up in the press about how he broke the no whining policy. And they, you know, even the press about the stories in the media about the media are even more biased because they all left out the fact that Chris Wallace asked him those questions.
Yeah.
And they didn't volunteer. And Chris Christie definitely volunteered them. But Mitt Romney has asked repeated questions. And Chris Wallace was sort of on a tear on Sunday about media bias on Fox News Sunday. And I just watched the show and thought, I've got to write an editorial about this because it was fantastic. He held up a copy of the other daily paper in Washington, the Washington Post, and pointed to it. It was like last Wednesday's. And he pointed to two, like the lead story on the front page, which was Ohio, Florida, give Obama an edge. He goes, and now look at the sidebar. For Obama, the Buckeye State may be a bullseye. And he said his wife was the one who held it up. Mrs. Wallace held it up at, I guess, the breakfast table. And she said, well, I guess the race is over, according to the Washington Post. So, you know, and then so Chris and then said he also said, you know, this I was also struck, and he held up Time Magazine this week. The cover is this sort of artwork of Mitt Romney in a stained glass window, and the headline is about, you know, about Mormonism. And so Chris Wallace pointed out that, you know, with only 5 weeks of the election, so many issues on hand, now Time Magazine has to put on Mormonism on the cover, which obviously is a, you know, a controversial issue for some people, unfortunately. So, you know, instead of putting on tax policy, economic policy, foreign policy, any of those other things that are important, that are more important about Romney, they put on Mormonism.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think Chris Wallace was obviously on a tear. That's why he asked Paul Ryan about it. And, you know, that's all accurate. It's all true.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting about Chris Wallace, you're talking about him, just reminded me of an interview I had with him not all that long ago. You know, he's one of the guys that really is fair and balanced when you come right down to it, because he is a registered Democrat. And I called him out on it on the air, and he admitted it.
I did not know that he was a Democrat.
He was sort of liberal.
I mean, his father obviously was Mike Wallace from 60 Minutes. And, you know, he's never, I don't see him at conservative events, you know, speaking. But I did not know he was a registered Democrat.
No, he told me. He told me he was, because I called him out on it, because somebody had given me some information about it at some point, and I said, hey, I heard that you're a registered Democrat. And he said, yes, I am.
Wow. That's interesting. Well, you know what? It's even more telling. I wish I could have put that in the story. It'd have been more even impressive.
I don't know if he's
that he's so struck by the media bias. I think it's so telling.
Yeah, that's why I said that it brings up a very interesting point to this story. Now, in all fairness, that was that's been probably maybe 2 years ago or so. So, I mean, it's quite possible that he changed affiliation. But up until that point, when I questioned him on it, he said, hey, he was very blunt, very open about it. He goes, yes, I am a registered Democrat. So, anyhow.
And he is extremely fair.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Republicans and conservatives feel, Chris Wallace gives a good, very good interview.
Yeah. All right. Before I let you go today, I did want to touch base with you on your series. And you have gone, three parts now on this Mace series, getting Mace in D.C. Who knew? When we talked last week, who really knew that it would be such a problem to get a can of Mace?
Legally.
Yeah.
Legally, I just want to point out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I've uncovered that, you know, the law states that having unregistered Mace in D.C., the penalty is 1 year in jail and a $1,000 fine. That's how serious this is. So I went down to the police station to get these registration forms, and it ends up that it's in the same office as the gun registration cops. So they're the same people who oversee both Mace and guns, as if those are equally dangerous to society, right? And I've been back there so many times before, and, you know, this had this unbelievable conversation where the woman said, which is not in the law, that I have to go buy the Mace, and then I have to ask whoever it is to send it back, or I send it back for them. I mean, it was so convoluted. It was so, you know, and our conversation was so ridiculous, and then at the end she said, and this is all in my story today, D.C.'s Mace Control Part 3. I said, because I was there and I wanted to check up on the fact they had, you know, whether they had been following what they're supposed to be doing, the new laws on guns, I asked for the gun registration packet. She said, Mace and a gun? And I said, well, you can't be too safe anymore. And she said, oh, well, but crime... I said, crime is up, you know, so much this year. It's up 8%. Violent crime is up 8% so far. And she said... Oh, well, that's everywhere. And I said, no, it's not. It's just in D.C. She said, oh, no, it's everywhere. It's in P.G. County, too. And I said, no, crime is down in P.G. County. It's only up in D.C. And she said, where'd you get this information? And I said, the police website. So then she said, well, I don't believe in facts and statistics.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Not unless they sued her.
This is our, you know, thank you, Chief Lanier. This is our police department.
Oh, man. That's beautiful.
Anyway.
It really is.
I got my forms. I got the registration forms, and now I just have to find some place to buy it legally.
There you go.
Mace.
All right. Well, I'm sure someone listening would know how to do that, and so if I get any information on it, I'll pass it along to you.
Okay.
All right, Emily.
Thank you.
Great to talk to you.
Have a good day.
We'll talk next
Bye-bye.
Week. See ya. Emily Miller, Washington Times Senior Editor of the Opinion Pages. 428, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.